Now our text tonight is to be found in Philippians 1, verse 23. Philippians 1, verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the life of the apostle. And the apostle, knowing this, the apostle Paul, said in Galatians 2 verse 20, Christ liveth in me. He was in acquaintance with Christ and enjoyed sweet fellowship with him. The Lord Jesus Christ was the chief friend he had, and as we see here in our text tonight, was the one he was so longing to see. He further was well acquainted with his own failings, and he knew the battle that he was engaged with, his own sin. And he longed to go home and to be rid of sin. And with these thoughts in mind, we read here, For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Where he longed to go home, to be with Christ. Now we note here in the opening part of our text that the apostle was in two minds. He wanted to go home, but he also knows he was of service to the church and therefore a desire to stay. Notice verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two. We can think of the word strait, and it literally means to be pressed. The word betwixt, from, out of. So here he is then. He's pressed with a difficulty in his mind. But it's a blessed difficulty, as one of all points out. Either it was to go, to be with Christ, or to remain, to be of further service to the church of Jesus Christ. Well, this was the difficulty he was in. He was in two minds here. What was it to be? To go or to stay? Well, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, at this time, it was to stay. For we read in verse 24, Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your fervence and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He was coming to them again. He was going to stay and be of further service to them. So then we notice the difficulty he was in his mind. We see he had this desire to go, but he also wanted to stay. Well, tonight we focus on his longing, his desire to leave, to depart, to go home. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Well, with this in mind, I'd like us to note these words tonight. And as we do so, first of all, the departure. We note in verse 23, having a desire to depart. Secondly, the Saviour. Where did he want to go? He wanted to go to that place where Christ was, to be with Christ his Saviour. And then thirdly, the joy, the end of our text, which is far better. First of all tonight then, the departure. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. To depart. He thinks of removing to another place. Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's thinking of death. He thinks of his soul leaving his body. To depart. 2 weeks tomorrow I shall travel again to Southampton Airport, and after checking in, I will sit nervously in the departure room, or the departure lounge, and there I will wait. Flying is not my favourite experience, and when I'm up there I try to keep my eyes away from the window. We think of the departure lounge, You go to a station, young ones, you may go to a railway station and you notice the departures and when the trains are going. And then as you think of such places, not only is there the place where you depart, but there is the departure time. And the apostle in another place knew there was a time at hand for him. 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, the time of my departure is at hand. So we think then of departing and the time. We think of the time of one's death. And one day we will depart at the appointed time. In Job 14 verse 5 we read, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God has determined our days. Now as we think about this, child of God, that brings me comfort. To know that God has determined my days. And not only the days, but the very hours and the very moments. It's all in God's hand. Well, in the meanwhile then, I can live for his glory. Well, our days are determined. We cannot go beyond that moment the Lord has already set. Dear congregation, dear listener tonight, your departure is coming at the appointed time. Now, as already mentioned, the Apostle Paul knew that his departure was at hand, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And he thinks in that place, in 2 Timothy 4 verse 6, that soon he was to leave this world. Soon his soul would leave the body. It was at hand. Now, as we think of that, it was revealed to the Apostle in a special way. And he was inspired to so write those words in 2 Timothy 4 verse 6. However, for many, they know that their departure is at hand. Not all, of course. Think of those who were killed yesterday in West Sussex as the plane came down. Their lives were suddenly taken. A few moments before or a few minutes before, they were unaware. And they did not think their departure was at hand. And there are some, they got no awareness that soon they're going to die. But for many, they know that death is coming. You think of those soldiers down through history, particularly in the World Wars, who were wounded on the battlefield. They were dying and they knew they were soon to die. You think of the beaches in France where many of the Allies came on and many were hit by the bullets and some fell to the ground and the Red Cross came along and tried to help some of them in time, but they were dying and they knew it. And how many of the soldiers on the beaches who had been shot yet not had immediately been killed were lying there and they knew that death was at hand. Away from home, away from loved ones. They knew that their death was at hand. There are some in the hospitals today who know they're going to soon die. Well, death is coming. The time is known unto the Lord. For some, they will know it soon. As the Apostle Paul wrote, the time of my departure is at hand. One day, your death is coming. And you may know that you're dying. Listen to Joshua, his testimony before his death. Joshua 24 verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He was an old man. He knew he was soon to leave. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. See that common end? I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua said on, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. There's Joshua. He knows he's soon to die, and what does he do? He speaks of his God and the blessings that have come upon him. Not one thing hath failed. And it's the believer's testimony. And dear child of God, if we are given a sound mind and we're helped there in the valley, it's our testimony we'll be able to survey our lives as we look back. And it will be our song, "Not one thing have failed of all the good things. I'm going the way of all the earth." Remember Simeon. He thought of his death as a departing. In Luke 2 verse 29, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." You remember Simeon? He was waiting to see the consolation of Israel, the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes near to comfort the soul. He already had faith in him. Well, with the Lord in his arms, now he was ready to die. And there's a lovely lesson there. One who embraces Christ by the arms of faith is ready to die. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." And if you have Christ in your life, we thought of that earlier tonight, the Apostle Paul could say, "Christ liveth in me." He knew Christ. He was a believer. There is that peace that can be afforded to your soul, and you'll be ready. In view of death, have you Christ in your life so that you can say when your time comes, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." The departing. What do we read here? "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." At that time there will be the separation. The soul will leave the body. James Fisher, thinking of bodily death, wrote, "Which lies in the separation of soul and body." We thought this morning of the beginning of life. Life is given. With death there is the separation of the soul and body. The soul will leave the body and this world. As one has written, to die, to go out of this world, and life into an eternal state. And you think there, the eternal state. And so we often think of entering eternity. At death, at the departure, we will enter eternity. The departure, the removal. John Gill wrote, "A going out of the body, a removal out of this world, a leaving." Whilst the body remains and in time is buried, the soul has already departed this world. There's separation. The soul departs into another place. We thought this morning of the long home. In Job 14 verse 10 we read, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" We see plainly there that the soul is immortal. "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" What a thought that is. Where is he? Where will you be when the departure comes? Well, Jesus made plain in Luke 16 that the man who dies in a state of unbelief goes to a place called hell. And what a place. Where it's in Psalm 73 verse 19, they are so striking, and I've often noticed them as I read that psalm. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. In a moment, and consumed with terrors. And what terrors await the one who dies in their sin at the very first moment? Consumed with terrors. One will be so frightened, so terrified at the moment of death if they die in their sins. However, Jesus also made plain that believers go to heaven. Unbelievers, they go to hell. But believers go to heaven, to the Father's house. You remember those disciples, they were troubled. They heard that their Lord, their Master was departing. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven awaits at the departure for the believer, whilst hell awaits the unbeliever at the departure. Heaven awaits the believer. Remember that man dying on the cross next to our Lord. Lord, remember me. In the morning, that man hated Christ. But in the evening of the day, he was with Christ in glory. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Paradise is simply, in light of Scripture, another name for heaven. Such a beautiful place. You think of the garden, such a beautiful place. The Garden of Eden. Paradise, what a beautiful place is heaven. Paradise. The apostle makes plain that heaven is paradise. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 1 to verse 5. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise at the departure. We thought this morning, what a beautiful place we will find ourselves in, dear child of God. And then on that great day, after the great day in the heavenly world, what a wonderful place. What death for the believer. Their soul will pass immediately into heaven. What does the old catechism say? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. When the departure comes at that very moment for the believer, they will immediately pass into glory. No purgatory. What a blasphemous doctrine of Rome. The believer will pass immediately into glory. The soul of the believer will be taken straight into heaven. And that was the comfort Stephen had. Acts 7 verse 59. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He saw Jesus standing, as we see in that chapter, to encourage him whilst he was suffering, but also to encourage him with the truth that he would soon see the Lord in glory. And with this encouragement in his soul, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He had been comforted in the valley. He had been given that wonderful vision. He knew that he would go to be with Jesus. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was dying moments later. His prayer was answered. And Jesus received his soul into heaven. The departure came for Stephen. And it was heaven with Christ. Well, Paul speaks of his departure here. When his soul would leave the body in this world. And go to be with Jesus. Your departure is coming. For many of you, I know where you're going. The same place as me, to heaven. But is there someone here? You're not believing? Or that you would turn to Jesus? Now Paul had this hope that he would depart this world and go to heaven. Why? Because of Christ who came here upon earth. And the believer has this hope because of Christ. Heaven will be open to all believers. Because of what Christ has done. He came to meet the condition of life. He died on the cross. And because of what he did, he was punished in the place of sinners. The believer will enter heaven at the moment of their departure. When I depart, I will go straight to heaven. What a wonderful day it will be. The departure then. But let's move on more briefly now and consider the Saviour. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. To be with Christ. Now the apostle knew Christ in his soul. Christ liveth in me. He was an acquaintance. He knew that friend which is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he wants to see him. And he's longing to see him, to be with Christ. He wants to see his Saviour who died for him and rose again for him. To be with Christ, we read. Dear brethren, Christ is the end of the journey. And one day I will be looking straight into the face of my beloved. Dear children of God here tonight, grasp this at this very moment. One day, and it won't be long in comparison to eternity, you will see your beloved Redeemer. He's in heaven. You remember, he led them out as far as to Bethany, his disciples. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, whilst he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Luke 24, verse 50 and verse 52. And that's where he went, and that's where he is now. He's there in his physical presence. Let not your heart be troubled, said Christ. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's gone to the Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you. And oh, let your heart be assured, dear child of God. If he was not there, he would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone on before. Think of his ascension. It's a wonderful comfort to the children of God. He's the forerunner. He's gone on before. He's led the way. He's there in heaven now for us, and he's making intercession. He's there in heaven at this very moment, and he's preparing a place. How is Jesus preparing a place for you, dear child of God? Well, firstly, he prepared a place by going to heaven. And then secondly, he's making intercession for you. He's praying for you there, that you might one day know the joy of coming into that place. He's there. He's making it ready. It's ready, dear child of God, because he is there. It wouldn't be ready if he did not go back there after his resurrection, at his ascension. But he did. And so at death, the believer will see Jesus. And this is the hope of the apostle, to be with Christ. He was already in union with Christ, but he's thinking of going to be where Christ's physical and immediate presence is known. To be with Christ. Turn again to those words in Acts 7 verse 55. But he, that's Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He was given that sight, particular for him. He looked into heaven. If you could look into heaven tonight, there'd be one that would so take your attention. And that is Jesus Christ. If we could see heaven, we would see Jesus. For he is there. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And the first sight in heaven, dear child of God, will be Jesus not sitting on the throne, but standing to welcome you in. There you'll see him. A friend may take you to see another friend. And you are dropped off at the house. And you go down the path and you knock the door. And the door opens. It's your friend. Well, at the departure, it will be your friend. What do we read here? To be with Christ, which is far better. After death, your soul will immediately pass into heaven. And you will see Jesus. What a hope for the Christian. Not for the unbeliever. Sadly, there are ministers who say that all go to heaven. What a lie that is. Our Lord made plain that not all do go to heaven. Only believers. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He made it so plain. The believer will see Jesus, and only the believer. Dear believer, at death, at your departure, you will see Jesus. Now, heaven and Christ go together. Did you notice that here? Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Going to a place where there is such joy, as we shall note in a moment, and Christ is there. Heaven and Christ go together. The Puritan Richard Sipps wrote, "Heaven is not heaven without Christ. Heaven is not heaven without Christ." As one I've always said, if I get to a place and I see not Christ, I haven't got to heaven. To heaven, to be with Christ. And you who have faith in him, you will find yourself one day in his immediate presence. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And you see, there is a godly longing to leave the body for the believer and to be present with the Lord. We see that here. He wanted to be with Christ, but he knew he was to be of more service here below at that time. What a moment it will be, dear child of God, when you are absent from the body and present with the Lord. The struggle may have been difficult in the valley, but then present with the Lord will make up for all the struggles in the valley of the shadow of death. Present with the Lord, to be with Christ. Well, at this point, consider firstly what a sight the believer will behold. Dear child of God, you will close your eyes on this world. Your last sight may be of a loved one, maybe of someone in your family, maybe you who are wives here, your last sight may be your husband. You are husbands, your last sight may be your wife or your children. Somebody's come to see you, be with you on your deathbed. Maybe a friend. And then you close your eyes. And then you'll see the beloved of your soul. What a wonderful thought that is. You'll say goodbye to your loved one. And then you'll see the great love of your soul, the beloved of your soul, to be with Christ. And such love and compassion will be in his eyes. And I tell you this, you'll be struck with the love that is beaming at you from his eyes. To be with Christ, you will see his glorious face, the beatific view. The marks of his love will be there to behold. And you'll notice the nail prints. It was for me. And you'll notice the love on his face. What a sight it will be to be with Christ. And what a wonderful truth. What a thing it is for me. One day I'm on my way to see Jesus, the beloved of my soul. I'm going to see him. Are you all going to see him? Are you coming with me to see Jesus? Dear young ones, are you coming with me one day to see Jesus? Listen to what John Bunyan wrote through the character of Mr. Standfast. I see myself now at the end of my journey. My toilsome days are ended. I'm going now to see that head that was crowned with thorns and that face that was spat upon for me. Dear members, we thought a week ago round the table that he gave his back to the smiters, to them that plucked off the hair, and to them that spat on his face, and one day you'll see his lovely face. How could they do it to him? But what a blessing. I will see his lovely face. I will admire his head upon which the crown of thorns was placed. I will see him. Will you see him, dear child of God? It won't be long till you see him. And I tell you this, you'll never take your eyes off Christ then. For all eternity. It's only a little while. Then we will see him for all eternity. For all eternity we will see the tenderness in his eyes. And we will hear his gracious voice. Oh, to be with Christ. Samuel Rutherford, I will not gaze at glory but on my King of grace. We thought this morning, because of our Maker, one day there will come such a heavenly world, such sights, such beautiful sights. And the most beautiful sight you have seen here upon earth will fade into the distance as you walk around Emmanuel's land after the great day. But oh, there will be an even more beautiful sight. And the glories of the heavenly world will go into the background as you again and again gaze at your King of glory, your King of grace. It won't be long before the whole church, the redeemed of the Lord, will all be gazing upon Christ. Well, here's the longing. Have you got a longing tonight to be with Christ? I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Think of the wonderful sight. Consider secondly, he will speak. What a moment it will be when he speaks to me. And when's he going to speak to you? At the departure. He'll comfort you through his word in the valley. And then he'll speak to you at the departure. You notice in Acts, who was ready for Stephen? It was Jesus. And Stephen just prayed moments before his death, Lord, receive my spirit. And Jesus took his soul. And he responded to Stephen at the moment of death. At the moment of death, the departure, not only will you see his lovely face and you'll be lost in wonder and amazement, you'll hear his voice. How precious it's been to hear his voice in the Word. Have you all heard his voice? What do we say? The voice of my beloved. How the Holy Spirit can so apply the Word, and we can be lost in wonder, and we can so feel the Lord speaking to us, and our hearts can be touched, and we can know that warmth in our souls. But oh, what warmth in our souls it will be when we hear his voice with the ears of our soul at the moment of death. What a moment that will be. We will see him, and we will hear him. What will he say? Dear child of God, we'll have to wait. But all be comforted. You're going to heaven and you will hear him. Be sure of this, he'll speak in a gracious way. He'll speak in a loving way. They wonder at the gracious words. And at death, you'll wonder at the gracious words of Jesus. How amazing! He's receiving the praise in glory. He's receiving the praise, yet he will stop to speak to the child who comes home. What a moment that will be. We will hear his voice. Let me ask you, your departure's coming. Are you going to be with Jesus? How can you sleep tonight if you're not a Christian? We read earlier tonight, consumed with terrors. I pray no one will be consumed with terrors when they die here in this room. But everyone in life has gone to Jesus so that when they die, they are consumed by the love of Jesus and their hearts are so full of joy. Have you this hope? Are you longing to see Jesus? The chiefest friend a man can have. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better to be with Christ. Christ is the end of the journey. Is Christ waiting for you at the end to be with Christ? Thirdly and finally, the joy. And with this we close. For I am in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. What joys await the believer? We've already thought of the contrast tonight. consumed with terrors awaits the unbeliever who dies in their sins. But in contrast, what joys await the believer? Fullness of joy, pleasures at thy right hand. Who said those words? The Lord Jesus Christ. As we see in Acts, as we go to Psalm 16, we can be assured of joy because Jesus knows it now. What joys await the believer? Note these words here, which is far better. What miseries are here on this earth? What sorrows there are in this world? Do you consider what happened yesterday? We had an air show down Bournemouth. There was an air show in West Sussex. What a contrast. I don't know the total now. I only knew what it was last night. 7. Suddenly lost their lives. What miseries. How people get themselves into a terrible state. You know, on Thursday evening we took some of the young people down to Avon Beach. And when I was walking there, a certain young lady came up to me around 17 years of age. And she looked very anxious. And she said to me, can you help me? There's a lady on the beach over there and she's unresponsive. And so I went across and immediately phoned the ambulance. Her hands were cold. And under instruction, I rolled her over. Thankfully, I saw a little movement. I was asked to find, was there any identification? I was on the phone to the ambulance as I rolled this lady over. So, with permission, I put my hand into her pocket and pulled out a bottle. She tried to kill herself. And next to the bottle was a letter. I'm so evil. What's the point of living? What miseries people get into. Thankfully, she got taken to hospital in time. What miseries. What a state that lady had got to, and it wasn't the first time I was told. And yet there's so many in such a state tonight. What misery there is in this world. It's a veil of sorrow. What does the apostle say? Which is far better. Just think of this here. What sorrow there is here below. Yes, dear child of God, we know joy. But it's not all the time. Our joys are mixed by sorrow. We know sin within. But we're going to a place which is far better. What a contrast for the unbeliever. It won't be far better. It will be far, far worse. But for the believer, it will be far better. To be removed from this veil of sorrow. Far better. Well, let's think of a number of reasons why. Firstly, one, the believer that is will be free from sin. What a wonderful day. How sin so hinders me. It wears me out. It wears me down. Because it's a battle with my soul. One day to be free from sin. What a wonderful day. Secondly, one will be free from pain and sorrow. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartaches, no more concerns about the frailty of the body. Far better. Thirdly, one will no longer be in this world where sin raises its ugly head. Oh, to be out of this world. So many things we come across. There's sorrows all around us. Consider what's happening in the East and the terrible things that are happening. It's dreadful, isn't it? People being beheaded, slaughtered. What a place, what a blessing one day to be out of this world where sin is and where sin in that world to come cannot enter. Fourthly, one will be found in a place where enemies cannot reach. How Satan fires his darts. His darts can never penetrate heaven. What a blessing to be there one day. Far better. Think of how you may be mocked in the workplace or the community you're laughed at. Such things can never enter heaven. Fifthly, fear will never affect the soul. Far better. One can be fearful. I asked some of my children the other night, what makes you fearful? And they said, the dark, my younger sons. Well, I remember being fearful of the dark. Where in life we soon learn there's other things to be fearful of, and there much more. But oh, in that world above, fear will never affect the soul. Some of the Lord's people are fearful about death. There will never be that fear in Emmanuel's land. Fearful about a new situation. Fearful about something that's come their way. But in Emmanuel's land there will be no fears that affect the soul. Sickly, death will be past. And that's a wonderful thing. It's the valley. There's darkness. And when we think of the valley of the shadow of death, in the Hebrew, there's the word of motion, of flowing waters at the bottom of a valley. We think of a valley with steep sides there in the Hebrew. And at the bottom of the valley, it's all in the Hebrew word, there's flowing waters. And the contrast is the still waters. The still waters where there's calm, peace. But in the valley in the Hebrew, there's the valley which is deep and there are the flowing waters. What a blessing to be out of those waters. And it's all behind. Far better. We've all got to face death, but for the child of God, one day it will be behind, and it will be far better. Seventhly, one will be able to praise the Lord with no interruption or distraction. No interruption or distraction. We have to get on with life, and we must at times, and we know it to be true lawfully, think hard about things, and we can't always think about things above, can we? But one day we'll be able to praise the Lord with no interruption or distraction. We won't be distracted by our wicked hearts. Sin will be no more. Ever we will gaze at Him. Ever we will praise Him. We will never be distracted by the frailty of our bodies. You know, our bodies are frail and things can get in the way. At times in my life I struggled much with hearing. And it's hard to sing at times and to pray, and maybe other things have fallen in the flesh and it gives you pain and you're distracted when you're on your knees in prayer. It will be far better now when those things are past. And then eighthly and finally, as we think it will be far better, we will be with Christ. What a place. What joys await, Revelation 21 verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. They're the present things, but for you, dear child of God, because of His precious blood, one day they will be the former things. And it won't be long in comparison to eternity. It won't be long. Donald Cargill, not long before his death, said this, "Welcome joy unspeakable." The Lord has put joy in our hearts. We think of the new man and various graces, and that joy, and we know it to some measure. And we know the cultivation of it to some measure. But sometimes we don't know that measure of joy, but oh, we're going to a place. There'll be a full measure of joy. That grace of joy will be for all eternity, cultivated by the Holy Spirit, and so full. What joy is awake. Welcome joy unspeakable. And they never cease. You know how it is? You can be on the Lord's Day, and your soul has been touched, or you can be in another situation, you know joy, but soon it comes to an end, and it fades. But there be no end to the joys of heaven. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, wrote, "The joys of heaven never fade, never wither, never die, nor never lessen, nor interrupt it. To be with Christ is far better." Will I see you all there? Amen. Let's conclude by turning to our final psalm, Psalm 73. We'll sing from verse 23, "Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand, and still upholdest me." Notice the next verse.